Well, everybody, Taylor Watch fans, Taylor Watch people, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the day, which of course it's nittier and grittier than ever, we need to go ahead and remember that we can always just sit back, chill, and have a drink. And
Yep.
who is the person that will be there for us through rain, shine, highs, lows, no matter what it is? Our number one bestie on the pod, it is, of course, Pink Whitney.
Yep.
Pink Whitney, pink lemonade flavored vodka, number one in our hearts, number one in your hearts, number one mixer, number one solo drink, number one thing that you want poolside. I'm in Mexico right now. I just arrived in Mexico. I'm looking for Pink Whitney. I'm here and I'm looking for Pink Whitney. I need it. That's all I want in a refreshing, sunshiny day. Oh my God. I understand that a lot of people are still experiencing winter. I don't even care. Get yourself some Pink Whitney on the rocks. Mix yourself up a little something, a little bit of that blueberry Red Bull, whatever the hell that is. I've never even heard of it before. Apparently, it's an incredible drink. Mix it together, sit on your porch, rain, shine, snow, sleet, hail, do it. Sit there, enjoy, and just relax. And imagine yourself somewhere else, because that's all I'm doing after this week, Gia, is
Yep.
imagining myself somewhere else.
Yep. And Pink Whitney's new 20-pack shot bucket, perfect for any party occasion or group gathering. But don't worry, there's also a size for every occasion, a variety of small sizes to grab and go, and larger sizes to share, gift, or enjoy in your home. And Pink Whitney is the fastest brand to hit 1 million cases in the last 5 years. So take your shot with Pink Whitney.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Taylor Watch. What's going on? How are you? Happy Thursday. It's officially Thursday. Thank God, Gia. I've never been so excited for a week to end in my life. Like,
You're telling me.
this week needs to end. I know you're having a bad week. You're having a worse week than I am, for sure. Like you're on the pendulum that I was on like a couple weeks ago, where it was like my life is over. Everyone hates my guts. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's a nightmare. We are out here fighting the good fight in the trenches. And thankfully today we were able to get a little bit of a pat on the back, a little bit of, you know what, you were right, from the lovely men over at New Heights, Jason, Kelsey, and Travis Kelsey. So we'll get into that as well. But yeah, we have, since our last episode came out, I would say the fury of the trolls, have we come up with a name with them yet? We
Some
on
of them
yeah.
were kind of funny. I forget. One of them was like trolleys,
Which
swole
I like.
or something. I got, let me pull up the TikTok because somebody
Trolleys are good. I saw another one too that was funny. It was like it really sounded so much like Swifties, and it was like
trolleys,
Swifties.
Swift griffs, grifties,
Grifties. Yeah.
Quifters,
Quifters.
yeah.
Well,
Wifty.
it's amazing. So we're in the works trying to think of a name for the kind of quote unquote Swiftie that goes out of their way to, bring down people within the Taylor Swift inner circle, the Jason Kelseys of the world, the Kylie Kelseys of the world, the when you've crossed the line past, hey, we're just having fun talking about our favorite pop star, into, hey, you need to go outside and take a breath of fresh air and figure your shit out. And turns out that subset is just pretty big. Like, it's just a pretty big subset. So we obviously talked about it at length last episode. We're not going to talk about it nonstop again. It's like, how many times can we talk about this? How many times can we talk about these people? But it does seem to be having an effect on other parts of the conversation that we are wanting to talk about. And I should say, first and foremost, we should say that last episode we said that New Heights took down a tweet that was congratulating the Eagles on their Super Bowl victory. We said it was because of the Swifties dragging them so much. And it was taken down with no explanation after it was getting dragged through the fucking mud like nobody's business, which is the main thing that we need to think about, is the fact that people were dragging them through the mud for zero reason whatsoever. But regardless, Jason ended up coming out and saying, I had intern Brandon, right? Took it down, I think, or intern Jake, maybe,
Yeah, one of
take
them.
it down because the congratulations post included too many photos of Jason and he is no longer on the team. So he didn't feel right having that up. So he wanted it deleted. And then they later reposted like another congratulations, which I think is totally fine and totally reasonable. But I do think that it does not take away from the fact that people went, so fucking crazy about that whole thing. Everybody's going nuts. And it leads us directly into the new episode of New Heights, which premiered today, Wednesday. You guys will be hearing this Thursday. So yesterday, go ahead and listen for sure, because it's a very mature and sad, but I'm trying to think of the right words to describe it. It was mature. Mature is the only way that I can really describe it. The conversation between Jason and Travis about Travis losing the Super Bowl, Jason rooting for the Eagles, but also rooting for his brother and trying to find the balance between, and the conversation that they had was, it was so healthy and so normal. And I just really want everyone to hear these kind of conversations, because they need to understand that that is the reality. Like, that conversation between two brothers on their podcast is the reality of the situation. Anything that anybody else says doesn't matter at all. And I loved their conversation today. I really did.
Me too. And I think a lot of people were coming after us for saying that it was the Swift, like Swifties, that got it taken down. And yeah, that is true, because that is false, I guess, but it doesn't negate the fact that clearly Jason was very, very upset by the backlash that he was getting. It was very obvious. He even like started getting choked up a little bit talking about it
Multiple
multiple
times
times.
choked up.
Travis reiterated multiple times, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone an explanation. Like, I know you, you're my brother. And it just really seemed like Jason really wanted to explain himself. And it's sad because there's really nothing to explain. Like, there's nothing to say. So he's feeling so upset and trying to, reiterate the what he actually meant when he said, like, oh, these are like, the blood is sometimes not as thick as water or something like that. And I hated watching him so upset, because obviously Travis lost, and I feel so bad for Travis.
Of course.
It just, there was no reason to make J he just kept reiterating he was like so uncomfortable watching the game, and he was so sad, and it was just so awkward, and it wasn't fun. And then to go home and open your phone and see everybody hating on you because you're literally doing your job talking about your brother's team, like being professional, it's sad. And that's what makes me so upset and angry at this whole thing going down with the Swifties and everything. It's just like, what are we even fighting about? Like, what are we even fighting about? We're fighting about brothers that we don't know and their relationship, and we're fighting about booing. It's like we're all on the same side here. We all are here for Taylor. It's like, why? I don't understand why people have to be so fucking mean online.
I couldn't agree more. And I do think there is an element to this that we are not missing, but it's kind of like ever present in the room, and no one wants to bring it up because it's accusatory, and it paints people in a certain light. But I do think, and I might get dragged for this, I do think that there is a level of this fandom, stan culture online. Again, the Taylor Swift fandom is so separate from the shit that we're talking about. Like, this is not like the average Swiftie walking down the street isn't talking like this, isn't acting like this. It doesn't even know what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, my friends, I'm with a bunch of friends right now, all Swifties. No one knows what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm trying to come in here being like, oh my God, I can't, I've been embroiled in drama all week. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, nobody knows what's happening. I think there's a level on X where these quote unquote Swifties, whatever they want to call themselves, it's almost like a pissing contest to show who's the best Swiftie. Like, who got Taylor the most, who defends her the most, who makes a point to stop misogyny and stop the hate and stop this and stop that. And it's like, I'm sorry if Taylor watched the podcast, me in particular, whatever claim you want to take to it. I'm sorry if we are the voices that have to tell you that, hey babe, this is the real world. And as much as we would love misogyny to disappear overnight, click your fingers, I would love it. I would love it. But you have to remember that it is rampant. It's here. It's always going to be here, and that fucking blows. And we can do our best to combat it and talk about it and make it known. But at the end of the day, it will take time. And I think personally, I'm 34 years old. Things are so different now than even when I was 24 years old. So I think generally speaking, we've made a lot of progress. I could never talk the way I'm talking at 24. Or I'm sorry, I could, but I wouldn't dare because I cared about male validation. I cared about fitting in. I cared about going with the flow, and I didn't want to rock the boat. And I'm sure there were people at the time that felt otherwise, but I do think that at this point in time, the year of our Lord 2025, I do think that there is an element of you need to go with the flow and be low key to undo years and years, decades, centuries of shit. You know what I
Well,
mean? And we're doing a great job, but it's like you gotta just chill. Like I feel like everybody's mad at us because we said, well, football fans boo, and they're like, wow, they just roll over and they're okay with Taylor Swift getting booed. It's like, no, that's not at all what we're saying. And how can you
People
interpret
think
it like
that it's like the fact that we are like, they're like, you're complacent. You're letting them boo, and you don't
hate
care
that?
about misogyny. You don't care about. It's just like you don't. It's so frustrating because like you don't know me at all. Then like you don't know me at all. Like all I do is talk about misogyny and the patriarchy and feminism and women's rights and fighting for women's rights. And
You sat on it on the Kamala party. Did
I
that?
was in the Kamala for Creators. It's just like
For Kamala.
it's not even that. It's just like. Just speaking out against stupid bullshit and speaking out against
Always.
stupid men. It's like, yes, we always try to be like that, but what do you want women to do in that situation? All of us to stand up at the stadium and say, "Hey, quit it. Hey, no booing. That's
Right.
mean." Like
Stop it right now. It's like, oh,
it
but has that ever worked? Did that
no
work when you were
and
5 years
I
old? No. And it's not
no
going to work now when you're in your when you're 45. You know what I
And
mean? Like
no,
it's
I don't know
never
the
going to work.
answer. I don't know how to solve this problem. I really don't. Like, it is
No one
such a
does.
problem. And I don't think that booing Taylor Swift is okay. I think that I know the reason why people are doing it. They're doing it because they hate what she represents. They hate that she gives women a voice. They hate that she's bringing women into the NFL. So I totally understand. But it's like, if someone wants to tell me what to do, like, I'll do it. But like, booing, people have been booing forever and ever and ever. People boo in sports. And someone tried to say, like, oh, like, why, like, people, oh, sports players get booed, like, celebrities don't get booed. Why does that make any better that a sports player gets booed? They're also a celebrity too, and they also are human and with feelings. It's like people get booed. Doesn't mean
People
it's
get booed.
okay. Doesn't mean that we stand for it. Doesn't mean that we support it. It's just like, it's football. It's kind of
Exactly. Well, it just needs to be reiterated again. And I said this last episode, and I said it when we were having casual conversation in the office with like Fran and Rhea and stuff. And it's gotten to the point where, yes, whoever these people are that feel the need to boo, that feel entitled to boo, that feel whatever, they're doing it to make a statement. They're doing it to get a rise out of us. They're doing it to make us feel less than. So to acknowledge it gives them exactly what they want. And to ignore it and be like, oh, who cares? Exactly like Taylor did, where she basically rolled her eyes and was like, what's going on? Well, she's getting booed by a whole fucking stadium of people. That is how you have to react to this kind of shit because it takes away the power. And maybe we didn't explain that well enough, but it's, or you know,
No,
maybe
but listen,
personally, I
like,
don't speak to you. Me personally, maybe I didn't explain it well enough, but it's like, it's very frustrating to be accused of, and I know that we're both so similar in this because we feel so strongly about certain things, especially this. So to be accused of like, grifting for money for off Taylor Swift, saying that the boos are fine, standing up for the Eagles, talking shit in the CJ, what's his face, Gardner, whoever the fuck that asshole is. We said he was an asshole 100 times, but somehow people still think that we're standing up for him and that we're blinded by whatever. And it's like, and Gia, this is where I'm at, where I'm like, what is reality and what are we like, what kind of spin cycle are we in that we
I know.
think it's reality and it isn't? So
It's
we're
also
having
hard
this
because like these are
conversation
supposed to
now.
be
It's like,
like,
does anyone even know what we're talking about? It's just crazy.
like these, and also like these are supposed to be like our like peers, you know, like these are supposed to be like our sisters in Swiftieism, like so it hurts almost even more when it's Swifties coming after us rather than like stupid fucking guys on Twitter, like whatever, like it hurts more because it's like
Way more.
why, like, it's just like, what did I personally do to you to make you feel such vile hatred towards me because I said that people in football boo. Like, and listen, I get the frustration of for the most part, I get the frustration of these fans. You know, like Travis comes out on stage in London, he gets met with millions of cheers. Everyone loves him. Everyone's freaking out. They show Taylor on the big screen, and it's the complete opposite. It's boos, it's fuck yous, it's all this stuff. So it's so frustrating. And I so get that to not feel welcome into a world of men and, you know, feel isolated because you love this pop star and you feel like you can't like fit into this group. And it is so misogynistic. Like at the end of the day, like that's what it is. It's just like I really want to know what people think is the way to go about it. It's like,
What do they expect? And again, it's like, yes, Travis Kelce goes on stage with the Eras Tour and the crowd goes fucking wild because they're seeing their favorite pop star finally with the love of her life, integrating him into her life after we know that she's been through hell and back. And so we're excited to see it. Versus an NFL game, the Super Bowl, for an example, no one cares who the players are dating. You know what I mean? Like, we care who the players are dating. And of course, the general public does care about these things. Like, people care about gossip, they care about pop culture, they care about whatever. But people are going to a football game to watch football. They're not, and I hate that. I hate to even like say it in this way, but it is that. And so she is a part of it. She's not the main attraction. So, like, if you're at the Eras Tour and Travis comes out, Taylor's the main attraction and she's bringing her boyfriend out. If Travis was on the field and he brought Taylor on the field and she gets booed, yeah, okay, that's a little bit different. And it's like, all right, fuck you, whatever. She gets booed because she's shown on a jumbotron in the middle of a stadium where she is the beacon of light and hope for the Chiefs when the Eagles are playing. And like you said, like all these other Chiefs fans, these people, these men, like whoever it is, booing her in the stands, like they feel like they need to stand on business for whatever fucking reason. It's like, yeah, that's a nightmare. Wish that wasn't fucking happening, but the girlies going after each other on Twitter is not going to stop these men. They love it. They love it. So why that nobody can wrap their fucking head around the fact that we need to stop arguing with each other and like, what's the word? Like cherry picking or even it's like it's in between cherry picking and a pissing contest where it's like you want to prove that you're a bigger fan, but you also want to be the one that's like the most noble and the most this and the most that. And like everyone is held to a certain standard and everyone is like putting certain values on pedestals and whatever. And they acting like they're the authority on certain things. And it's like, it's crazy. Like Gia, the stuff that we were sending back and forth, like whatever subsect that we have found ourselves in on Twitter, where people are calling Jason a fat fucking idiot and get that man off my fucking like timeline. He's disgusting. Can't, I didn't sign up to back Taylor's boyfriend's brother. Like
Like
just
we don't owe them anything. Like they owe us. Like we are the reason why they have a platform.
let's get it straight. They cater to us because we're the listeners of their podcast. It's like, get a fucking grip. Like people have just such a
Someone.
warped perception of reality that I it's it is infuriating and
Yeah.
I don't know how to handle it.
Someone commented on my TikTok and they were like, we wouldn't even be having this argument if people understood nuance.
Dude, how many times do I
Like,
say that
yeah,
nuance?
like two things can be
Nuance
true at the
off.
same time, you know? Two things can be true.
Nuance,
Booing can
yes.
suck, and also booing can happen. You know what I mean? Like it's just it sucks ass. That's kind of just how it is. It sucks, and I think eventually we will get to a point where it doesn't happen anymore. But you have to keep in mind, this is the second year Taylor's been involved in the NFL. Like it's
I
still
know.
very new. I think eventually it'll get to a point where these men, and especially if people start ignoring it and start just like living their lives and not bringing out the torches and pitchforks every single time that she's booed. And I like, and it sucks
It
because it
takes the
feels like I'm
power
like
away. It takes the
defending
power
people
away.
booing her, but I'm not trying to defend people booing. I'm trying to find a way to find a
To make sense of
solution, you
it.
know, like where it's like
Right.
if we
Where you're
do
making
ignore
nice
and we do
making
move on,
sense.
hopefully these men realize that it doesn't rile people up as much as they think it does.
Right. And again, that is how, and all I can think of, honestly, truly, when I think about these people commenting and how worked up they're getting, and listen, I completely understand getting worked up over Taylor getting booed, getting worked up over the idea of misogyny and the fact that men hate women and women hate women. And like, yes, of course, we're all mad about that. And we've all been mad about that. But that's the thing, is like, if you're just now realizing that this is happening, and I think that maybe that's the situation. Like, if you're just now realizing that this is the state of the world, then I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this is your eye-opening moment, that you've now realized that this is what happens. I didn't even bat an eye, Gia. Like, I wasn't surprised in the slightest. Like, I legit thought, I was like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, they're doing the Chiefs thing. And then they were like, oh no, she's getting booed. And I was like, oh, well, of course she is. Like, she's in the fucking game. Like, yeah, they hate her guts. Like, everybody hates women. Like, everybody hates Taylor Swift. Everybody hates whatever. Like, of course it's happening. Like, not saying that that makes it okay. But again, the more news articles that come out about it, the more TMZ coverage about it, the more like think pieces we have about it, I do not think that that is what like changes the future. I do think that people being annoyed by it and people hearing people like us talk about it or seeing the discourse online does maybe discourage from the future. But I just don't even think that that's true. Like, I think that it fuels people.
I
I
think
think
if you,
seeing us upset, yeah, I think seeing us upset, I think people, the more think pieces, the better. The more fuel they get, the more tweets Donald Trump sends, and then we're in the same fucking cyclone for the rest of time. And there is no way out of it if we're arguing in an echo chamber that is fucking X slash Twitter. Like, it's just not that. And I'm arguing, I'm over here motherfucking people. I've got some girl on my fucking ass right now who like won't stop tweeting me. She's tweeting me. She was like kind of the catalyst to like some drama for me. And people are sending me DMs. Like, she said some fucked up shit in the back. Like, people, I don't know. People keep tabs on these kind of people. Like, again, like, it's a world that I'm not in. So I'm unfamiliar with it. So I don't, people send me stuff and I'm like, all right. I don't know. And I'm not trying to like, I like tweeted this girl's profile or whatever and said she's a psycho. Like, that's one thing, but I'm not tweeting out like screenshots. I'm not tweeting out whatever. I'm not trying to ruin this bitch's life. I don't know this bitch. Like, people are sending me her real face, her real address, like her real everything. And I'm like, that's all fine. But I'm not that bitch that's gonna like ruin your life because you're a psychopath on Twitter. Like, just stop. You know what I mean? Like, just stop doing that. And I feel like there's, again, this whole subset of people who just think it's normal to act this way. And it really does. As we see from the conversation with Jason and Travis, it affects their mindset, whether people want to admit it or not, whether they want to believe that, like, yes, I do believe that Jason wanted the tweet taken down because there are too many photos of him. But why would he be worried about too many photos of him if not for the fact that a million people said, you're not part of the team, you're this, you're that, whatever. Like, that is implanted in his head. Like, that's not just like a, that's kind of crazy to just suddenly think that or out of nowhere. So I don't know. It's a frustrating thing to watch. I never know what to say about it. I never know what to do about it. And I just think that, I'm glad that this whole situation is over right now. And I think a break is much needed for people. And I think everyone got too wrapped up in the situation. And we've gone too far past the goalpost that nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just yelling in a circle. And it's like, for what?
I think the Jason, I think the New Heights episode just like spoke volumes about their relationship and how like wrong people were online about everything about Jason. And yeah, I mean, the what Travis said, it was like, oh, bits and he said bits and pieces of who you are still very like are still breathing within that facility or something like that. I thought that quote was
Absolutely.
so powerful. Because Jason was like, I'm not on the team anymore, like whatever. But he was like, yeah, but you helped Jalen, you helped Lane Johnson, you helped all these people, you helped all these players. Your coaching, your aura, your love for the team is still so present in that locker room. And I think Jason, like, I could literally start crying talking about it because I feel so bad for him. And
No, of
I
course,
don't.
because he put his heart and fucking soul not only into playing for as long as he did, and then he unfortunately, right before he retired, lost the Super Bowl, and then he made it his mission to keep these guys on track to get to where they were this past Sunday. And I think that that is something to be so proud of. And Travis said it best. Travis, like you said, he said he's a part of it. He's a part of that facility. He's a part of these people's lives. What he and Kylie have done for the community, they're a part of the Philly community. Like it's so much deeper for them than just a game. You know what I mean? And we could sit here all day long and say it's just a game. Relax, this, that, whatever. But at the end of the day, Gia, I'm honestly, I'm emotional seeing you be emotional because it is truly like these people are people that we would know, people we'd be friends with. They're around the same age. They're around the same, like they have the same kind of lifestyle. They grew up in the same areas. Like they understand life the way that we do. And they've been thrust into this fame because they have certain skills that have put them there. And they're just trying to be themselves and they're just trying to be good people and lift everybody else
I
up
mean, he's
around
literally
them.
just trying to do his job. It's
He's
just
doing his
crazy.
fucking job and he's being a good guy and his wife is being a good person and they're all being good people. Travis is trying his fucking hardest and he's doing his best and he's feeling melancholy now. He's talking about potentially retiring, which nobody saw coming really. And it's obviously bleak times right now. Like, and to be honest, Gia, I really truly feel that it was exacerbated by the drama online. Like, I do feel that. Whether they say it or not, I really feel it. Because why would they come on the pod? Why is Jason crying? Why are they worrying about justifying the fact that he's rooting for the Eagles because he was a part of them, but he also hopes the best for his brother? Like, he shouldn't have to justify any of those things. And he never would have any other time in life if not for this situation. And unfortunately, I have to blame the like stan culture online. Like, it's the only the culprits.
I've just never seen anything like this. Like, I've just never seen
Right.
a Super Bowl happen and then just have this like negativity come out of it. It's just so crazy.
It's crazy. And Gia, and I'll say this for you, Gia. And I'm emotional, watching emotional. I'm looking away from you because I don't want to cry because you're crying.
Sorry.
Gia's getting shit on like nothing I've ever seen for being an Eagles fan, which is fucking crazy. Like the meanest shit, like, I'm always coming on here. I'm bitching about the mean shit I'm getting, whatever. You guys hear me. It's like I'm on my soapbox. When I see it happening to my other friends, I see it happen to other people, it hurts more because it's no sense to me. It makes no sense when it's me, and it makes even less sense when it's you. You enjoyed yourself in the Super Bowl with your family. You had moments. You're looking forward to it. That's your team. You happen to be a Taylor Swift fan. The two don't have to, one does not equal another. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're celebrating here. It doesn't mean that you're taking away from something over here. It doesn't mean that you're shitting on this. It doesn't mean that you're condoning some of the lower level bullshit that's
And
happening.
Travis said it
Excuse me.
himself. He said it himself, it's football. He's
It's
like, I go
football.
home to a beautiful life, a beautiful
Yes.
family. Like, I'm so blessed. I have all these things. Like, at the end of the day, it's just football. Like, I have so many other things. Like, he obviously, like,
Bob.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it really seemed like Taylor, like, has really changed his, like, perspective on life almost. Like, you know,
Sure.
like, his life is bigger than football. Like, he has, like, more to offer than just like to be, you know, obviously football's so huge, but like there's more to life than just the game. Like he has so much other.
Now he has a future outside of it. He has a woman who loves, respects, and supports him. He also has a massive family. Now that Jason's retired and he and Kylie are they're having another baby, they have all these kids. Like he's an uncle, he's a boyfriend, he's a son, he's involved in a podcast, he's involved in media, he's involved in charity. Like there are bigger things than playing football. And like you said, he said, love playing football. I'll play it till the wheels come off. I'll do whatever I can. But it comes down to the fact of like, do I have it in me? Do I have that oomph in me is basically what he said. Like, do I have the drive? Do I have the dedication? And he said that even this year kind of felt like a slog getting through it because he was thinking about other things and thinking about like, yeah, this is hard on my body. I'm playing more games than any other players. This is hard and this sucks. And how long can I keep doing this? And he's 35 years old. And when you play football hard and fast like that for however 15 years, I think he said he's been playing 15. That's a long fucking time. 15 years. You're 20 years old. Like that's crazy. It's a crazy amount of time to be playing a physical contact sport nonstop every week for 10 months out of the year. You know what I mean? Or 8 months
And I
out of the
mean,
year, however you want to slice it. But
especially like coming off like such a hard loss like that, and I don't want to like kick Travis while he's down, but like he didn't play his best. You know, he really didn't play a great
But he's
game.
so transparent about that. He's like,
Yes.
I'm going over things in my head that I wish I did differently.
Yes.
Like we
So,
barely showed up. Like he's
when,
very honest about that.
yeah, like, and when you have that, like, when you're coming off a big loss like that and you didn't play your best, like, you know, you're already beating yourself up so much. Of course he's going to be thinking about retirement. Of course he's going to be thinking like, you know, maybe it is time to, you know, do other things. And he's been doing such, he's acting, he's doing, are you smarter than a celebrity? He's like crushed that hosting that show. Like,
He's slaying the game. He's slaying the game outside of the game. And I think that people need to they just need to accept that as well as understanding, like you can't bandwagon football without knowing the culture and then get mad about the culture. And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing right now. And I just don't know I don't know how we became the targets of like hate. I don't know how that we just get wrapped up in these fucking freaks. And like that's how it goes. And it always goes that way. But it's frustrating, you know, to see. It's frustrating to be in the middle of. And at the end of the day, you just have to hope that, you know, people grow a brain and move on from it at the very least. Like, hope that this is just a tough week. And then next week, we'll all be laughing about this, you know? And I think right in the middle of all this, a good thing that came out of it was Kylie Kelce's interview with Alex Cooper on Call Her Daddy did come out, which is very exciting. I love Call Her Daddy. I love Alex Cooper. I'm a major fan. But I think, you know, depending on the interview, but I think having Kylie Kelce on, she clearly interviewed her in New Orleans. Alex was there, so that's probably where they had the conversation based on the set and stuff. And Kylie was just as real as possible, normal as fuck,
She's so
talking about the
funny.
Jersey Shore, talking about her husband, talking about her family, like just cool as fuck. The sound bites coming out of it, Alex was able to ask her like information about Taylor, or not information, but more so questions, being like, how'd you meet her? What was it in the? How did Travis tell you
Yeah,
that
that
he
was
was
funny. They're like,
dating
did you just
her?
throw it in the group chat? He's like, not throw it in the group chat. No.
Nope, it did not hit the group chat. So that, yeah. So like, and I want to give kudos, a round of applause to Kylie for not only like, you know, giving us a little bit. But then also being sure to be so protective over their privacy and their story, and not even giving a crumb of information past the fact that, like, yeah, we went to dinner, and yeah, we did this, and yeah, I met her. The first time I met her was at that game, and like she kind of told her bits and pieces, but she didn't, you know, delve deeper into that.
I
And I
also liked
respect
how
the fuck out of
she,
her for that.
yeah, me too. I liked how she included, like, you know, before her and Taylor met, like, there was a lot of press and stuff about how, you know, they were avoiding each other and how, like, they didn't like each other. Kylie didn't like her or whatever. And I liked that she, you know, put those rumors to rest. And she also made a good point. She was like, I didn't meet Travis until like a year after me and Jason were dating. And I was like, yeah, like, that's like, people forget, like, that. You know, these people, like, there's normal timelines for relationships, for meeting siblings, meeting parents, like, meeting the parents is a huge thing, let alone meeting the siblings, like,
Massive.
is massive. Like, those things.
I had a boyfriend for like a year and a half, never met my parents. Like
You,
don't like.
it's a very big thing. And, you know, people were expecting her and Kylie to be like this after them dating for like 2 months. And that's just not gonna be the case. Like, it takes time to build trust, to let someone into your life like that. Like, so I
It's
appreciated
not
her.
real. It's just not real.
I appreciated her putting those rumors to rest. But yeah,
Same. Totally agree.
it was very like very, very honest. And I appreciate that from Kylie. She's always just very blunt, and I like that about her.
She's not gonna lie, Gia. One thing about Kylie is that she's not gonna lie. And I love her for that. I love
Hey,
her.
good one.
A quick aside, speaking of people who are not gonna lie, our girls, Carissa, and it's Carissa and Aaron, right? Do the pod together. They had a and I mean we I love them. We both love them. They have a great podcast. They talk about sports a lot, but they also, yeah, obviously it's a sports podcast, but they also occasionally like end up bringing up Taylor Swift. They're massive Taylor Swift fans. They know Travis personally. They were the ones who kind of started talking about like, oh, Travis Kelce should date Taylor Swift. Like there was like a whole like their whole thing. Love them so much. They had a conversation on their podcast, very similar to ours, Gia, about how like fan football fans be football fans and shit like that happens. And you know, I'm not saying hate on them. I'm saying keep the same energy because I think that like what they said was maybe they said it a little more eloquently. Wow, I'm slurring. Eloquently than we did, but I do think that the messages are the same. And I think if you're looking for something to take away from this whole Super Bowl saga, the interviews, the conversations, this, that, whatever, it's that like the people on the inside who are experiencing this, Jason, Travis, Kylie, even Carissa and Aaron, I'll put them in that same thing, that same category because they're friends with all these people. They see it in the regular way. You know what I mean? Like they're not getting worked up over the shit that's online. They're not getting worked up over bullshit and drama. They're, yes, grieving a Super Bowl loss and they're understanding that people were tarred and then they lost and they feel bad about that. And it's like, damn, we're so fucking sorry about it. But everyone understands the game at the end of the day. And they understand the game, the nature of the sport, the culture, whatever. And I just think that they're good people to look at if you are looking for more information outside of us. Like I feel like, I don't know. I'm not trying to like turn people off of us, but I think that like the way that we're talking and I just feel so correct when we're talking about things. And I feel so much like, you know, we're talking about Kylie on Call Her Daddy. We're so aligned with her. Like if other people are aligned with Kylie and we're aligned with Kylie, why are they not aligned with us as well? You know what I mean? Like it makes no sense. So if we're not the source that you're looking for, I think that they have a very similar mindset and they talked about Kylie as well and they talked about everything. And I just think that people need to maybe like, I don't know, expand their minds, open their ears, and just figure out a little something, something. That's just a long-winded way to just be like, I don't know. I feel like people are normal and we need to just remember that they're normal,
I
right?
agree with what you're saying. I don't think our listeners should go anywhere else. I think that they should stay
Well,
put.
no, I'm saying yes, there's just an us, but like, you know, if you're looking to, if you want to like fact that, not fact check is also not the right word, but it's like, we are not alone in our thoughts. Like we're not just spewing bullshit. And I feel like I'm personally starting to get annoyed by that. Like I don't want people to think that we're just like talking out of our ass and that nobody thinks the way that we do. And I don't think that people think that altogether,
No,
but I
I
think
think
those who do, you know?
there was also, and I don't want to like, because there was also a lot of people, DMing me, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, where people are like, what's the issue here? Like, what are you, like, it seems like, there is very much so many people that are with us and understand, like, there's really no fight for us to be fighting here. And,
Right.
I did get a lot of messages from people, like very nice messages, and I saw like some comments on YouTube and stuff. Like, there's
Oh,
people
good.
that get us, which is reassuring. But I
Yes.
get what you're saying. Like, sometimes it feels like we're screaming into the void, and it can get so frustrating. But yeah, like with Chris and Aaron, and like even like with Saquon, like what he said about Taylor, like he was. Let me pull up
Oh
the.
yeah, Saquon says something great,
He said.
and
I remember that they showed her on the Jumbotron and she got booed. I don't get why she was getting hate there. She's there supporting her significant other and made the game bigger.
Exactly. And by the way, that's the perfect PR response. Like whether you like it or like that's just whether and I don't believe that Saquon is going out of his way to like give a PR response, but I do think that that is the reaction that everyone should have. Like that's how people should think about it.
Hold
Like
on.
Taylor
Can't
Swift
show
is
me the.
there. Oh yeah. Taylor Swift is there to root on her boyfriend and she and that's that. Like what it's not much deeper than that. Like she wants to do that, and the fact that people are booing, they're making a big deal out of it, they're doing whatever. Oh, gee, yeah, I'm just exhausted. I mean, I'm exhausted even talking about it. We don't have to talk about it anymore, but it's
Let's move
just,
on.
yeah, we'll move
Let's
on.
move
It's
on.
a very frustrating week, I think, for us trying to, I don't know, defend ourselves, like explain ourselves,
Yeah.
like
I guess explain
when
ourselves. Like,
explain, I
I'm
guess.
trying to explain, like, what I mean.
We're not the bad guys. Like, it's not. Like, I just don't. Oh, it's so annoying. Like, so annoying when you care about something and you stand for something and you stick up for something for so long, and then all of a sudden people misinterpret something you're saying and accuse you of the opposite. And It's probably the number one thing that bothers me the most is when I'm like accused of acting and thinking something that I'm actually not, and then people not believing me when I'm like, no, that's not true. Like, it's so annoying. And I think that it's happened to me for a while. It's happening to you so bad right now, and it's just so fucking dumb. Like, it's just no need. That's not our people. They're not our people, G. They're not our people.
And I think the people that know us, and that's what I just keep trying to remind myself is that, like, at the end of the day, like, we're not going to be able to appeal to everybody, and it's just kind of how it's going to be. And yeah, we can get a little controversial. We like to curse, we like to get silly, but at the end of the day, I know our hearts and I know what we stand for, and I know that this podcast is a great place for Swifties to come and hang out. We've gotten such great messages from you guys, reiterating that sometimes you don't have Swiftie friends, so it's nice for you guys to listen to us, and that's exactly what we made this podcast for. So just keep trying to remind myself that.
And you just have to remember that. Speaking of real Swifties and real friends, shall we hear from some real Swifties and some real friends of the pod?
Wait, really quick, this just came up on my Twitter. Did you see that Ashley Avignon clocked the Gaylers?
Yes, I did. And also, are the Gaylers really still out here trying to be like Dorothy, red shoes? It's
I
embarrassing,
didn't
though.
know that
It's
that was even a
embarrassing.
theory or a thing.
It's like a well, the Wizard of Oz is like inherently gay. Everybody says that. It's like, whatever. And it's all of a sudden we're clocking red shoes. It's like, oh my God, it's worse. Like I almost can't even get into this, Jay, because it's so fucking stupid that I can't even deal
I
with
just
it.
kind of
But I
wanted to
love
hear it.
Ashley for just being like, those are my fucking shoes, bitch. Like, shut up. Gia, I have just arrived in Mexico, right? And I, before I got here, was a little worried about my gut biome. Okay. I wasn't sure how things were gonna go. I'm about to be eating chips and guac, salsa, a lot of cheese, a lot of this, a lot of that, a lot of
Lot of
stuff I'm
meat.
not eating. Mexican food nonstop. It's gonna be hard on my body. And thank God, Gia, despite the fact that I've traveled to a new country, despite the fact that I packed a suitcase that's over 65 pounds, I made sure to bring my Ritual vitamins with me to make sure that my gut biome is 100 out of 100, no issues, no faults, feeling good.
Of course, you are going to want to make sure that your gut microbiome is healthy, and it is the key to our mental health, immunity, and of course, digestion. So if you're looking for digestive support, Ritual has got your back, or rather, your biome, with Synbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement of clinically studied pre, pro, and postbiotics to support a balanced gut microbiome with daily use. I use Ritual daily. I use the women's multivitamin and the hair nail skin one. Amazing.
Best.
Super easy. I pack it in my bag and I just take it every morning. And this daily 3-in-1 probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic features two of the world's most clinically studied probiotic strains to support gut and digestive health. And Ritual Symbiotic Plus is designed with a delayed release capsule to help reach the colon, an ideal place for probiotics to survive and grow. So get your gut going, support a balanced gut microbiome with Ritual's Symbiotic Plus, and get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/TaylorWatch. That's ritual.com/TaylorWatch for 25% off your first month.
All right, let's get into let's hear from the people. Let's hear from our friends, from our real besties, from our true trues, from our number ones.
Okay, this is very relevant to what is going on right now.
Okay.
Okay, so I just left a really long and rambling voicemail message. My name's Amy. And something that I was going to bring up, but I don't know if this is a touchy subject, is I'm really curious if you can speak to what it's like to be doing the show for Barstool. And I'm curious, like, specifically if you, okay. So during all the Boo controversy, like the analysis of the Boo, I noticed a lot of writers for Barstool Sports were quick to dismiss it, I would say. And I'm curious if you feel like being in an organization that is clearly mostly male and has been accused of being misogynistic, which you two are clearly fucking not, okay?
Thank you.
What do you feel? Like, it's a tough work environment. How much freedom do you have with this show? I feel like there's just in the comments section sometimes, I feel like there's things I just like everything's going over my head. I don't know. I'm probably older than the majority of peeps tuning in, just because I'm a later in life Swiftie and discovered you guys recently because of her. And quite frankly, hadn't really heard of Barstool Sports a whole lot, but then looking into it, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So now I've left you two random
Sure.
messages, and I'm totally fine if neither of them are actually played, but if you could address either, yeah, I'm curious your take. Hello.
That is a good question. I think it's a good question, and it is something that's come up a lot this week. People like to throw the fact that we work at Barstool back in our face. They like to be like, well, these misogynistic hoe bag bitch cunts love to, they're that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
So
They're like, they
legit.
work at Barstool. Legit, that's what they're saying. They're like, they work at Barstool. They don't know anything, like whatever. They're brainwashed. They're this, they're that. I'm sorry. Like, again, it is a little bit of a thing, because it's like, if you know Barstool at all, you know that you and I specifically, the two of us, are maybe the number one like women crusaders, like to the point where we're fighting with people, to the point where we're not talking to them for years. Like, I didn't talk to Kevin Clancy for a year and a half because I fought with him over Barbie and the significance over Barbie. Like, we are untethered. Like, we are allowed to say whatever we want, do whatever we want, act however we want. Specifically with this podcast, Dave is extremely encouraging for this podcast, especially because he's a Taylor fan. He also appreciates the fact that we're both strong women who speak our mind. Like, that's why we're here. Like, why would you, if we were sheep, what interest are we? You know what I mean? Like, it's uninteresting.
And
But
I also feel like, how are you supposed to change? And I will say, Barstool has this certain idea of it, and I think people base it
has a
off of how
stigma, but I
Barstool
think
was.
it's very far off
Kind of
from
50-50 though,
reality,
but
especially now. Especially now. Like, it's way different.
what I'm trying to say is, like, the only way you change a culture is by infiltrating and slowly changing it. And I feel like we've been doing that at Barstool, like with Chicks in the Office, with me and you, Caroline, Mubi, Kelly. Like, we're all these really strong, very, opinionated, confident women. And Jackie, so many people,
Jackie, yep.
like everybody. So,
We've got bitches in every corner slowly taking, like, that's what I'm saying.
yes.
Like, th this is a slow burn, y'all. And that's what that's it's also
Think
when
about
we're talking about the
Elphaba
as
and
a whole,
Glinda.
slow burn.
Glinda wanted to infiltrate from the inside. That's what we're doing, and
Exactly.
I have never in my life felt like I couldn't say something that I wanted to say. I couldn't express an opinion or do anything like that. Will I see some backlash and hate for it? Yes, but that I think goes without saying, no matter who you are, where you work for, there's always going to be like bad backlash, public opinion, whatever it is. I feel like Barstool is actually probably one of the only places where we could do this show with free rein and not feel like we have to confide to certain, not to go too far or say something we don't say an opinion or something, like be scared to say something. I feel like
We don't have to. There's no censoring. There's no th nobody's. The most they check up on us is to make sure that we do our ad reads. To be honest, like, they make sure that we do our job, and that the people listening to this podcast hear all about Steven Singer, hear all about Ritual Vitamins, hear all about Pink Whitney. Like, those are the things that make sense, and that's just because we have amassed an audience for this podcast and as people, and that's how media works. Like,
And
if you have a podcast,
also,
that's how it works. Like, that's it. Like,
Taylor wrote Dave a handwritten note. So,
so again, like, that was nothing made me feel more confident in what we were doing than Taylor writing Dave a handwritten note saying, thank you for always having my back, which, by the way, extends completely over the entirety of Barstool Sports as far as Taylor Swift fans go.
and don't get me
And
wrong, we do have to deal with annoying ass coworkers that will say stupid shit about Taylor. And but like, imagine if we weren't there, like then they could just say that shit free rein and not have anyone in face go up to them and be like, what the fuck are you writing? Like, what the fuck are you doing? I feel like we hold
People
people
don't,
accountable.
People don't see that. They don't see, or maybe they just haven't, you know, it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on at all times because there's so many people and whatever. But I would say on average, Gia, at least once a week, we're in a fight with somebody talking shit about Taylor Swift. Like at least once a week. And we're loud about it. We're annoying. We're in their face. We're physically in their face, or we're texting them, we're calling them on the phone, we're being obnoxious about it. Like where it's like, you know, you want to talk about Taylor Swift? You go through us first. Like that's goes in our house. And like I'll get texts from Hubs, who is our one of our editors in chief, and he'll text me stuff like, hey, so and so wants to blog something about Taylor, whatever. And I'm like, I would never blog that because it's negative. Like they can do what they want, but like that's not my shit. Like the other day when Taylor got booed, I was like, I'm not gonna blog that. I'm not gonna blog Taylor getting booed. That's fucked up. Like that's gonna, you know, more people are gonna talk about it. But it's the news and it has to be in the news, so it makes sense. But let somebody else talk about the negative. We're positive people only. Like we're not here. Like we're basically, without Taylor specifically hiring us as like a PR, you know, duo to pump her up, we're doing that. You know what I mean? Like that's our sole purpose in life is to like make sure that the narrative is normal, the narrative is good, people are treating her with respect. And I'll tell you something, Gia, I do believe, especially the New York office, because that's where we both are, in the New York office of Barstool Sports, no one would dare say a bad thing about Taylor. No one would dare. And they especially now, I feel like there was a time where they could maybe make jokes, or they thought they could make jokes and whatever. And we raised a big enough stink that not a single soul would dare talk shit about her, truly. And if they did, they're just trying to get a rise out of us. And we like literally shut down their throat until they shut the fuck up. Like it is so like, I feel like to paint a picture of Barstool Sports is really hard, but because there's so many people and there's so many different facets and different audiences and different groups and whatever. But I would say, like, generally, like, we just come in and bully all these losers. Like, that's kind of how it goes. Like, love these guys, love them. But we come in and we just do, and just like, shut the fuck up. Don't say this, don't say that, whatever. And it works. And, like, you know, to a certain extent, like, obviously, it's Taylor specific, it works. But they respect us as much as we respect them. And I think that they're, you know, we work together and we've all worked together for a really long time. And when you work in media and when you have a certain amount of hate put on you for certain things, or you get, you know, a bump for doing good things and whatever, like we've all kind of experienced those highs and lows and we all know how it feels. So we're all there for each other, very much so. And I also think another misconception of Barstool, and you know, we've said it before multiple times on this show, people think that Barstool is full of like MAGA, like dick sucking, like whatever the fuck. And that is not true at all. Like there, yeah, there's a
I would
handful
say
of people
most of
that
us are liberal.
completely. And people make jokes, certainly, where they like jump on the bandwagon and they're trying to get engagement online or whatever. But if you're asking people like, who'd you vote for? It's like, you know, we're not getting down to all that, but like, it's not what you would think. Like, it's not a bunch of like, you know, salmon colored shorts, polo shirts, frat bros. Like it is so far from that. Like I went to college where that was my whole life. That was every guy I knew in college was that. Barcelona is not that. Like not even close. Not at all.
I think there's a certain image of like Barstool that people have, and I think obviously from the course of the years it's accumulated into that. But I think if you look at like the individual people that make up Barstool, will realize that like it's not that case at all, actually. And yeah, I love working at Barstool.
I do too. And to be honest, the probably the best part about it is the freedom we have.
A
Like that's
thousand percent.
that is the that outweighs anything that anybody could come up with. Like the fact that we can, you and I both, not only this podcast, but outside of this podcast, we could literally do whatever we wanted. And if it worked well online, we're encouraged, we're given resources, we're helped, we're, you know, all of a sudden it's a hit fucking show. You know what I mean? Like that's just how things work at Barstool. And you always hope for that moment. You hope for those ideas and those things. And we have done well with this show. Like this show kind of came up out of nowhere and it turned into something bigger than we thought. And people are extremely supportive on all sides, in content and in sales and just in general. So it's just, yeah, it's been fantastic. And you know, it sucks when people talk shit about Barstool. I hate it. I it's very annoying. Like we, you know, it's like It's one of those things where it's like we can make fun because we're here, but like you shut the fuck up if you talk,
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
don't talk about my people like that. You know what I mean? Like
I also
it's
hate
one
when
of those.
people are like your opinion doesn't matter. You work at Barstool. Like, yes,
Hate it.
it does.
Does. And you're right about like the infiltration thing. It's like, yeah, you gotta have people on the inside to take over. Like it's like,
Yeah,
oh,
it's like I don't.
we can't let the Mojo Dojo Casa House run by itself. Like we gotta come in here and Barbie it up.
Barbie
Like that's the
Dreamhouse
whole
it
point.
up.
It's the
Yep.
whole point.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah.
Okay.
Good question though. Good question.
Yep. This one's funny.
Oh, hi. My name is Elisbieta. I am the kind of Oh, hi. My name is Elisbieta. I am the kind of older Swiftie, Polish
Oh.
one, living in Canada. And today I am very upset after Chiefs losing the game. But it is not the main thing. My main thing is, like, extremely, extremely upset with the fans of Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, yeah, what have you to say about that? It was like heartbreaking, like really, really low class. Thank
Yeah,
you.
girl.
Very low class, very low class.
Listen, very low class. And to be honest, there's a subset. Again, there's bad apples in every bunch. And yeah, there was some low class fans on both sides of the fence running around.
I just want to speak up for my Eagles fans for one
Okay, speak
minute
up.
because I feel like Eagles fans get such a bad rep, and I understand no one likes us, we don't care, no one likes us, whatever. But at the end of the day, like, it's one of those things where you don't get it until you get it, until you're part of that culture, until you're part of that fandom. Yes, of course, there's going to be bad apples of every single fandom. And I think social media blows that up so much. People are saying, oh, what about, the shirts, the fuck Taylor Swift shirts with the Eagles logo on it. I have seen the same picture of the same shirt every single time that that is brought up. I have seen same video of the same people be hitting the pinata of Travis. And I hate to laugh because, in the grand scheme of things, yes, beating a pinata of someone's face in is crazy. It's the Super Bowl and you're the best player on the opposing team. It's just the way that things go. Is it deplorable? Is it low class? Yes, but it's at the same time, it's what's gritty about Philadelphia. It's like why we are the way that we are, because it's not hurting anybody. Someone commented something really funny on my TikTok, and they were like, if I saw a pinata of my boyfriend's face, like I definitely wouldn't take the first whack, but I would be in there for sure.
Yeah, I'd still be hitting it.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, you have a point where it's like there's an element, and this is where the disconnect is, I think, when it comes to Taylor Swift fans and football fans, where there's an animalistic side to
Yeah.
being a football fan. And
Yes.
that's just a fact where it's like balls to the walls, shirts versus
Trash
skin, get the
talking.
fuck out of the compass. The way that they even talk about it, like the way that we people talk about Pat Mahomes, people talk about Jalen Hurts, like what before the game, after the game, fans of both sides, fans outside of either fandom, Giants fans talk about the Eagles, Bills fans talk about the Chiefs. Like it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. And again, not excusing that behavior, but it's just the fact that like this behavior exists. And it's not necessarily going anywhere. Like, it's just always how it's been. So to be surprised or to be, clutching your pearls over it or whatever, it's just kind of like, all right, well, this is how this person who is a super fan in his own way, and he thinks this is right. And even though nobody else thinks it's right to set a fucking t-shirt on fire in the middle of the
Also,
street, that's just what they think. Like, I don't know. What do you want? There's crazies everywhere.
yeah,
Crazy people walk the streets every day. Like, what do you want?
it's not justification, but like Philly fans, like we do it to our own too. Like we booed Alec Baum on the Phillies for so long that he finally got his shit together and started being the best player on the team. Like it's this culture that I can't really
It's tough
explain.
love. They think like tough love is the way to go,
Tough love, but at the same time, like some of my fondest memories of my life is when I was a little girl going to the link, with my dad, with my family. Like, nothing better. Go Eagles, go Birds, high five. Such positive, fun energy every single time. Yes, was I a little scared sometimes when someone would throw out some crazy profanities? Of course, but that's like, it almost molds you as a person. And just like, I see all these videos, of these Eagles fans. They're so dedicated to this fandom, and they're lifting the guys up in the wheelchair at the parade, at the and
Broad Street.
on Broad Street, and everything like
Yeah.
that. Like, there's so many positives that have come out of this, and I think the negatives are pushed so much harder that you see it more often. And like, destruction of the city of Philly, like, it's, I get why people don't get it, but I think also the people of Philly like kind of hate what's going on with, they wanted to build the Wells Fargo Center in the middle of Center City and take away Chinatown. The parking fees and all that stuff of the city are insane. That's all people complain about is, the city is stealing their money. So hey, they're gonna get back at them at one night of the year. They're gonna get a little rowdy. And also, it's mob mentality. It's a big crowd. People can get away with whatever. Some of these people are not Eagles fans, and they're doing these crazy shit. And I just don't think, I understand why people have this conception of Eagles fans. I get it. But I think if you went to an Eagles game, if you immerse yourself into that fandom, you will realize why people are so diehard Eagles fans, why I'm so diehard Eagles. Like, the Eagles have brought my family together in ways that I did not think was humanly possible.
Of
Like,
course.
especially
And
this
also, but
weekend.
also at its core, the fandom is a, even like you said before, the semi-unofficial slogan is no one likes us, we don't care. That mentality alone is like, people don't like us because of how we're acting. People don't like us because of how we celebrate. People don't want us to succeed. They don't want us to do great. So when we do, we're going to shove it down their throats because for reason, they don't want us to succeed. So the question really does end up being like, why are people so against like Eagles winning, and why are they so against the fans, and why, but besides them being like obnoxious,
I
yes,
think
there's a level of obnoxious for
people
sure.
hate the obnoxiousness, they hate the abrasiveness.
Sure.
And I also want to say, like,
It is a little bit though, like, okay, what's your problem? Like, it's just gives me that vibe where
and
I'm
also,
like,
like,
why, what is the fucking problem with this?
I've never been in a situation with Eagles fans where I have seen like an Eagles fan instigate something. Like, it's always people getting in Eagles fans' faces, trying to rub it in their faces, trying to brag, whatever. It's like, we bite back, like, we are not afraid to get into verbal arguments with people. Like, I just think we ride so hard for our team, even when we sucked so hard. So people just like, I don't know. I think maybe they just hate that they can't. I honestly really don't know.
I think it's layered,
Well, they,
Gia. I
and
think
then they
it's
also see that video of like
yeah.
that guy like calling that girl a cunt, like the Eagles fan calling that girl a cunt. Like, it's just,
It's bad. That's bad. That's ba
it's
It's a bad
bad.
visual. It's a
It's
bad
bad.
visual.
It's
But
very
listen,
bad.
there are rough and tumble people in every fandom. And if you highlight nothing but the rough and tumble, which is kind of the Eagles' whole thing, maybe it puts out a perception that may not be exactly the reality of the situation,
I
but
think
it's like you have
we
to be.
embrace that other side
Yes.
instead
Yes.
of ignoring it and pretending like
Yes.
we're these perfect fans. We embrace it. I
Yep.
think people don't like that.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a get over it, Like in my head, I'm like, get over it. Like, I don't know. I maybe because my dad's a sports fan, my mom is a sports fan. Like I understand the sports fandom. We work at a company that is over the top, and honestly, like the stepping stones of Barstool Sports are over the top fan behavior. Like that's why they do live streams of games. Like it's just a That's what we're looking for, and that's what people like to see, and that's what people engage with and get excited about, and they just want to root for something and feel a part of a community. And again, Swifties, we've talked about this multiple times over the years, certainly on this show, certainly on the Line. We were just doing the segment or whatever is unfortunately, in for better or for worse, how similar sports fans are to Swifties in their tepid fandom. And I think that Swifties need to take a good fucking look in the mirror before they start throwing stones over the fence at the football fans, because what you're doing is a literal mirror reaction to what they're doing, just in a different font, in a different tone, in a different whatever. It's the same fucking shit. And all, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is stand up for our people. And that's all fine. But it's like you have to recognize that other people are doing the same thing. Like, you can't live in the silo of your life and think that this is the only thing that's happening in the world. Like, your reality is not the reality of the rest of the world. Like, that's a major lesson that I feel like I learn every day, is like, your reality is not the reality of the world all the time. And you have to accept that. You have to acquiesce. You have to be open to understanding other people and how they act, whether you like it or not. And I feel like it's a major flaw in at least the online response to certain things, I'd say.
All right, let's do one more.
Perfect.
Hey, ladies. I
Hey.
so appreciate your take. I kind of wish there was a support number to call during the Super Bowl. This was not
Right.
last year's game.
It should have been us. We should have done that.
Yeah, right.
So I want to just talk about how our girl handled the moment, right? Like, people are saying, she said, "What's going on?" Which I just like to think that she was sitting there enjoying herself as much as possible as her boyfriend's team was, getting slaughtered essentially. And he really was like, "What are people booing at? Like, what's the deal?" I loved the little meme of the, I don't even know what that is, the bear. He looks to the side. Anyway,
Oh, yeah.
how she handled it. Once she realized, it was clear she realized, okay, I'm getting booed. And she laughed it off. The boo analysis runs deep. And I kind of fall in the middle in the sense that, yeah, it's part of football. It's definitely part of, I would say, the Eagles would be a fan base to give the boo to even Santa Claus, as I think Gia mentioned, and Flavor Flav said. But I do think it's an issue that runs a little deep when Trump gets an entire, like, everybody cheered, right? And then they didn't for her. Like, I felt like that was not accidental, and it's such a microcosm of what's going on in our country, just because of who they both represent. But I'm curious if you ladies have any takes on what's next. Like, the talk is Travis retiring, of course, them taking a vacation. People who thought there was actually going to be a proposal are sad, be a proposal are sad. I didn't ever think that was going to happen. I hoped for both of their sakes that wouldn't be the case. But I'm curious if you have thoughts on what's going to happen.
Oops.
Oh,
Sorry.
what's gonna happen next? Is that basically the end?
Going to happen. I hoped for both of their sakes that wouldn't be the case. But I'm curious if you have thoughts on what's going to happen next. What are they up to? Are they just going to disappear and lay low? Are they going to, yeah, I don't know. What's next? Love you both.
Love you. I hope they
Love
disappear.
you. I know. I hope they disappear. And I think so. Entertainment Tonight, our trusted source, Trepang, said that they're taking well-deserved time off, and they're better than ever, totally fine, everything's fine. Which, it's honestly, Gia, how annoying is it that Trepang has to call up Entertainment Tonight every 6 months to be like, they're still fine, they're still doing okay, everybody's freaking out, but for no reason, they're doing okay. Like, it's like people need updates, and it's like, yeah, of course, we love the updates because it's a part of our thing, but it's like, I don't know. I would be exhausted. I just would be so exhausted if I.
I really think that this will be like a very important and good and like positive time for their relationship to come out of like such a bad part of his like life, like losing the Super Bowl so badly, whatever.
Totally.
On
And by
the
the way, she also lost a shit ton of Grammys
That's
one
what I'm
week ago.
saying. So what
Yeah.
I'm saying is like, he's coming off this loss, she's coming off her losses. Because she had such a big year, like this is such a good time for them to just enjoy each other and lift each other up and be there for each other in like in a what seems like a hard time. And I'm sure with the Grammys, like Taylor's fine, like it's whatever. But Travis,
Oh, she didn't even talk about that. Yeah,
yeah. But like I
definitely.
think this will be a really good time for them to just like be able to support each other during hardships. And I feel like, yeah, like what Entertainment Tonight said, like they're going to take a break, and I hope that they go somewhere warm and tropical, and that Travis, you know, I feel very, very sad for him, even though, you know, I am very, so happy for the Eagles. Like you could tell how sad he was in the
Well,
new
of course, he's
episode.
devastated. And it's like you work so hard. Anybody that works that hard
Yeah.
and fall short of their goal, whatever it is like it's devastating to see. And especially someone like Travis, who is so gracious and so such a good, like he's a good loser, you know? Like he's not a sore loser. He's not like placing blame on anybody else. He's like, you know what? He's basically taken the whole loss on his back, which he like doesn't even need to do. You know what I mean? Like it's just crazy.
So I think that I think that right now, you know, with figuring out retirement and everything like that, I really hope that they are able to find some calm and some peace for the
I
time.
agree. Sorry, somebody must have arrived at the house. There's like a fucking
Sorry.
literally screaming bloody murder. It must be
Oh,
like,
let's wrap it up.
yeah, we'll wrap it up. I don't know what just happened. Something just is going crazy. But regardless, completely lying, completely agree. And I just hope the best for them. I hope that they have moments where they get to be themselves. They get to be outside of anybody's judgment, anybody's thoughts, feelings, whatever. Like, and they just don't need to. They don't have to hear anybody's two cents on anything they're doing. That's all I hope for them. And I think that's all most of us hope for them, especially after such a crazy year. And yeah, we just hope for the best, you know. Hope for the best.
Yep.
And let's hope for the best too with the fandom. Let's move into next week with positivity. No more talking shit about the, you know, we're gonna ignore these fake Swifties. We never came up with a name. We don't even need to. We'll just pretend they don't exist. And let's just move forward with normal shit like normal people do, because they're not normal and we are. So, and that's that. And
Amen.
that's that.
Amen to that.
Amen. Amen, sister.
And anchovy says, "Preach, sister."
Anchovies is so fucking cute. This whole time, by the way, Anchovy's been like kind of running across the screen and like doing whatever. Every time I'm like, can you just put her in the screen? Like, I just want to look at her. Like, oh my God, look at her little arms. Look
I love Taylor Swift.
at her sweet, like inquisitive face. Oh my God, she's so loose. I love it. Meow, 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 meow. Oh my God. Oh, sweet anchovy. Okay, so that should make your week better. If you were feeling down, a little bit of anchovy love and a little bit of ranting and raving from us, but ultimately love all around. We just want everybody to feel good. We
Choose
just want everybody
love. Choose love.
we promise we're the good guys. Like, we're not pieces of shit. And we'll see you next week.
You guys.
Love you.